Hi, this is Bill Thomas at Prairie Public. Listen to this.
In the desert, I saw a creature, naked, bestial, who, squatting upon the ground, held his heart in his hands and ate of it. I said, "Is it good, friend?" "It is bitter." "Bitter," he answered. "But I like it, because it is bitter, and because it is my heart."
That was In the Desert by Stephen Crane, recited by Sydney White from Legacy High School in Bismarck, part of the annual Poetry Out Loud competition that took place February 25th, 2019 in Bismarck. This week on Prairie Public Presents, we will revisit that competition and hear the amazing work that these students are able to do with poetry. We'll hear from all the winners, some interviews, some comments with other people who were there, and just lots of great poetry. Competitive poetry. Poetry Out Loud is a national competition sponsored by the National Endowment for the Arts with help from the Poetry Foundation. And in North Dakota, it's put on by the North Dakota Council on the Arts with support from Humanities ND and all the schools and teachers who take part. Competitive poetry may not sound like two words that are often together, but of course, poetry as an art form is competitive, just as music performance or acting. People want to be the best. And in this case, it's set up in a formal contest. When you think of competitive poetry, what may come to mind is the poetry slams that have declined a bit in popularity, but still go on, where people do their own poetry, typically very dramatic and very colorful performances. This is a little different. This is poetry recitation. The people who participate are reciting recognized poems selected from a pretty large catalog put together by the Poetry Foundation, and these are really good poems. Then they are to recite them from memory. That's part of the process. And they're encouraged, you know, not to ham it up too much, I guess I would say. Let the meaning of the poem shine through. Well, we'll talk more about how it's judged and what the criteria are for winning and how the whole thing works. But first, let's hear a poem from 2019's top winner, Emily Gilsrud of Wahpeton High School. This is a charming and funny poem, satirical, that got her off on a good foot.
Megan Married Herself by Caroline Bird. She arrived at the country mansion in a silver limousine. She'd sent out invitations and everything. Her name written twice with ampersand in the middle. The calligraphy of coupling. She strode down the aisle to "At Last" by Etta James. Faced the celebrant like a keen soldier reporting for duty. Her voice, shaky, yet sure. "I do. I do. You may now kiss the mirror, applause, confetti. Every single one of the 140 guests deemed the service unimprovable, especially the vows. So, from the heart." Her wedding gown was ivory, pointedly off-white. "After all, we've shared a bed for 32 years," she quipped in her first speech. "I'm hardly virginal, if you know what I mean." No one knew exactly what she meant. Not a soul questioned their devotion. You only had to look at them, hand cupped in hand, smiling out of the same eyes. You could sense their secret language, bone deep, blended blood. Toasts were frequent, tearful. One guest eyed his wife hovering harmlessly at the bar and imagined what his life might have been if he'd responded years ago to that offer in his head. "I'm the only one who'll ever truly understand you. Marry me, Derek. I love you. Marry me." At the time, he hadn't taken his proposal seriously. He recharged his champagne flute, watched the newlywed cut her five-tiered cake, both hands on the knife. Is it too late for us to try? Derek whispered to no one. As the bride glided herself onto the dance floor, taking turns first to lead, then follow.
And that was Emily Gilsrud, who took first place at this year's 2019 Poetry Out Loud competition. She's from Wahpeton High School. And that poem, what a nice example of what a short poem can do. It's in that short amount of time, gently but pointedly satirizing narcissism in today's culture. And Emily did such a great job of reciting it. She not only had the perfect celebrity banter kind of tone with it, but I've listened to this several times, and it is clear that she paid careful attention to each line, each pause. Well, how did Emily get to the statewide Poetry Out Loud contest? Each school that participates in Poetry Out Loud has a contest at the school level. And I've learned these are different from one school to another. Sometimes it's all just within a particular class, and it's like a class assignment in that class. Sometimes the final showdown in the school to determine who's the top person, that school champion, is done at a school-wide assembly, and they make a bit of a bigger deal out of it. Whichever case, the students who are winners work on their poems. I got a chance to talk to Emily and her teacher, Christy Marr, who coached her through the preparation for Poetry Out Loud. You can hear a bit about how it goes.
Yeah, I've been here four times, so every year in high school.
So each time you come, you have to pick three poems. Mm-hmm. Did you pick ever, like, repeat a poem? Or?
Yeah, I actually repeated Let the Light Enter, which I did today, and then I've done Dear Reader a couple times, too.
I'm curious about the process of choosing a poem to do. So I'll ask Emily first and then her teacher.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of take a while to choose and I'm very indecisive. But so Megan Marion herself I did today, and that one of our teachers at Wahpeton High School, Mrs. Woods, actually showed me, and I was like, this is so funny. Like, and I just, like, fell in love with it. And then we started working with it more and just adding more funny things to it. And it's so fun to do. And then for Quite Frankly, I was between four poems. And I ended up narrowing it down to two eventually. And then I did it in front of the class. And right when after I said Quite Frankly, I was like, okay, this is the one. So definitely helps to, like, say it out loud, too. See how your voice fits with it. And then it's a lot of just, like, click random poems and then just see what comes up.
Did you ever pick one that you thought you were going to do and then you decided, no, this one is just not working, I don't get it, or something like that?
I don't think so, really.
So when she's picking poems, do you advise her on her choices?
Well, early on, the students just all have to read a lot of poems to get a feel for what they like. But like Emily said, after if she's indecisive or if she's trying to decide between several poems, we'll have her read it out loud so we can see what she feels comfortable with, where she, you know, and then she'll know, she'll have a hunch what is part of her, what she wants to do.
Do you weigh things like, oh, how much I like this poem? Do you weigh things like, how hard is this going to be to convey to an audience and stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely both of those things. Mm-hmm.
So over the years, you've done several different poems. Do you have like a favorite or a couple of favorites that you go like, wow, these were just, I'll always remember these. I'll be reciting them to my grandchildren.
I think Dear Reader has been my favorite. I've done that one a couple times, and it's the one I've probably performed the most, and the first poem I probably really fell in love with.
And that one is no longer on the Poetry Out Loud website,
yeah.
So she couldn't do that one for this year's performance, so she had to choose something else.
Yeah, and we should explain for our listeners that the way Poetry Out Loud works, it's not like the whole world of poetry to choose from. They narrow it. There's still a lot of poems, mm-hmm. but they narrow it down, and they have a website with some, and you have to pick like a newer poem and an older poem, right? How does that work?
You have to pick one poem that is under 25 lines, and then another poem that's pre-20th century, and they can be the same poem.
Do you ever worry, like, the poem is too long or too short?
Yeah, that's definitely something we, like, look at when we're, like, looking for poems. Like, how hard is it? And like, we want to pick challenging poems, you know?
Do you ever get a chance to recite poetry outside of the Poetry Out Loud program?
I don't really.
Yeah.
Oh, in English class, we have presentations sometimes where we analyze poetry.
Let's see. You get to go to the national contest now.
Mm-hmm.
When is that coming up?
Is it on April 30th?
Is when we leave.
Mm-hmm. And where is that at?
Washington, D.C.
Okay. All right. Well, congratulations on... coming for so many years and winning first place in your last year, finally,
yeah.
You know. It's like a dramatic story.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that, and thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.
Emily Gilsrud and her teacher, Christy Marr. In that interview, Emily talked about her favorite poem that she had ever recited in the Poetry Out Loud contest called Dear Reader, but she couldn't do it this year because they'd have a set bunch of poems that you can choose from, and it had been removed from circulation for a while. They refresh the list annually. But we have recordings from past years, so I was able to go back to last year's recordings and pull up Emily Gilsrud doing her favorite one she ever did. It has an entirely different tone from the one that you just heard her read, Megan Married Herself.
Dear Reader, by Rita Mae Reese. You have forgotten it all. You have forgotten your name, where you lived, who you loved, why. I am simply your nurse. Terse and unlovely, I point to things and remind you what they are. Chair. Book. Daughter. Soup. And when we are alone, I tell you what lies in each direction. This way is death, and this way, after a longer walk, is death. And that way is death, but she won't see it until it is right in front of you. Once, after your niece had been to visit you, and I said something about how you must love her, or she must love you, or something useless like that. You gripped my forearm in your terrible swift hand and said, she is everything. You gave me a shake, everything to me. And then you fell back into the well. Deep in the well of everything, and I stand at the edge and call chair, book, daughter, soup.
The silences in that one say a lot. The poem was Dear Reader by Rita Mae Reese, done by Emily Gilsrud at Poetry Out Loud. One of the things that the students who participate in this poetry recitation competition are encouraged to do is seek out some older poems. And I think this is the oldest one that was recited this year. And this is by the person who came in second in the competition, Christian Walt from Bismarck High School. And he did a poem by William Blake, the poet who was active around the time of the American Revolution. And this is a popular one of his poems, as those things go. I have heard it turned into the lyrics of a rock and roll song by a band that wasn't their biggest hit, but I thought it was a good song. I've just seen it different times. This time, hearing Christian read it, I took the meaning to be about the existence of violence and cruelty in our world and what divine force might have to say about that. See what you think. Christian Wolff.
The Tiger by William Blake. Tiger, tiger, burning bright, in the forests of the night, what immortal hand or eye could frame thy fearful symmetry? In what distant deeps or skies burnt the fire of thine eyes? On what wings dare he aspire? What thy hand dare cease the fire? And what shoulder and what art could twist the sinews of thy heart? And when thy heart began to beat, what dread hand and what dread feet? What the hammer, what the chain? In what furnace was thy brain? What the anvil, what dread grasp dare its deadly terrors clasp? When the stars threw down their spears and watered heaven with their tears, did he smile his work to see? Did he who made the lamb make thee? Tiger, tiger, burning bright, in the forests of the night, what immortal hand or eye dare frame thy fearful symmetry?
Christian Wolff of Bismarck High School doing William Blake's famous Tiger, Tiger poem. You're listening to Prairie Public Presents. I'm Bill Thomas, and this is highlights from the 2019 Poetry Out Loud statewide North Dakota competition. The last couple have been pretty serious, so maybe it's time for a more lighthearted one. This is Curtis Anderson from the Magic City campus of Minot High School. And when he did this poem in front of the crowd, there was a problem with the microphone. So I caught up with him afterwards and asked him to do it again.
Harold and the Purple Crayon by D. Gilson. Berkeley psychologists told Harold his anger was justified. What parents let their child go for a midnight walk under no moon? I couldn't have been more than 4, Harold told the doctor in her crisp beige office. Doctor, could it ever be okay for a 4-year-old to eat 9 different types of pie? Harold asked her. Call me Lisa, the doctor replied. Everyone knew Harold could draw. By sophomore year, he was critiquing grad students. By 20, he knew exactly when to quote Sontag. Standing in front of a professor's latest pastel of Mojave succulents. This just makes me think how, in place of hermeneutics, we need an erotics of art. Harold's professors would hum and nod their dragon heads, though none of them understood exactly what Harold said. By senior year, Harold became distant, his work increasingly angry. Apple trees, their fruit rotting in monochrome purple under the notable lack of a moon.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions, too. Is that okay?
Sure.
I'm curious about the selection process of the poems. How did that go?
Well, I sat on my laptop one night and just scrolled through a bunch of poems, and I was drawn to Break of Day because it seemed to me to be very deep and, I don't know, very emotional, and I felt that needed to be displayed in this performance. And the D. Gilson, the Harold and the Purple Crayon, I chose that because it's witty, and I like witty and intellectual things. That's always been a huge draw for me.
So the contest is memorizing, reciting, understanding, interpreting poetry. I'm curious if you do other activities in this line. Are you in speech or theater, things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I take voice lessons, and therefore I perform and memorize all sorts of art song, Schubert, Brahms, Mozart, Beethoven, such and such. And I took a lot of the skills and knowledge I gained from that and applied it to poetry.
That makes sense. What was the process like in your school of the contest in the school? How did that go?
It was very casual. In my classroom under Miss Hicks, we just had a classroom competition, and I joined it because I wanted bonus points. And here we are.
Okay, thank you very much, Curtis Anderson from the Magic City campus in Minot.
Thank you.
All right, I think maybe it's time we had a love poem. And one of the best modern love poems is the one that's coming next. Not surprisingly, many students doing poetry out loud select this one. It is just a pleasure to hear it performed, as well as it is this time by Maria Kalb from St. Mary's Central High School in Bismarck.
I carry your heart with me. I carry it in, by E.E. Cummings. I carry your heart with me. I carry it in my heart. I am never without it. Anywhere I go, you go, my dear. And whatever is done by only me is your doing, my darling. I fear no fate, for you are my fate, my sweet. I want no world, for beautiful you are my world, my true. And it's you are whatever a moon has always meant, and whatever a sun will always sing, is you. Here is the deepest secret nobody knows. Here is the root, and the bud, and the sky of the sky, of a tree called life, which grows higher than soul can hope or mind can hide. And this is the wonder that's keeping the stars apart. I carry your heart. I carry it in my heart.
You could hear the audience clapping for Maria doing that E. Cummings poem. There was an audience. This is done before a live audience, this poetry recitation contest at the Heritage Center in that nice auditorium they have there. And, of course, a number of family and friends and teachers come to it. But it has built up a bit of a following over the years. And I'm there as a judge. I've been there for several years in a row. And I see a lot of familiar faces, people who come in to watch it. It's during the day on a weekday, so that doesn't make it easy for a lot of people to attend, but some do, and it's a great show. Next is another of the top finishers. This is Cassandra Rostvedt, and she is from Northwood High School. And this poem that she's doing, it's kind of a funny one with a serious undertone. And when I saw it written on the page, I thought, this is going to be a hard one to recite because the sentences kind of loop and hook into each other. But she made it work, and she makes the meaning come out so clear. Cassandra Rostvedt.
Mr. Darcy by Victoria Chang. In the end, she just wanted the house and a horse, not much more. What if he didn't own the house? Or worse, not even a horse? How do we separate the things from a man, the man from the things? Is a man still the same without his reins? Here it rains every 15 minutes. It would be foolish to marry a man without an umbrella. Did Cinderella really love the prince, or just the prince on the curtains in the ballroom? Once I went window shopping, but I didn't want a window. When do you know it's time to get a new man? One who can win more things at the fair? I already have 4 stuffed pandas from the fair. I won fair and square. Is it time to be less square? To wear something more revealing? In North and South, she does the dealing. Gives him the money in the end. But she falls in love with him when he has the money, when he is still running away. If the water is running in the other room, is it wrong for me to not want to chase it? Because it owns nothing else. When I wave to a man I love, what happens when another man with a lot more bags waves back?
Cassandra Rostvedt from Northwood. Nice Jane Austen reference in there. And another student picked that same poem, but she unfortunately wasn't able to come because of bad weather on the day of the contest, something that Poetry Out Loud shares with Class B basketball. The whole Poetry Out Loud thing in North Dakota is organized by one of the staff members at the North Dakota Council on the Arts, and her name is Rebecca Engelman. And she did make a bit of a prologue where she made a kind of a pitch for the value of poetry being included in the schools.
And this is what we know about poetry. Poetry has the ability to create entire moments with just a few choice words. The spacing and line breaks within a poem create a rhythm that seems musical and natural. The individual stanzas within a poem provide a kind of incremental reading, one tantalizing chunk at a time. Poetry is universal and opens up venues for speaking and listening. And this is where Poetry Out Loud comes into focus. Making room for Poetry Out Loud in our curriculum toolbox offers students a chance to find within themselves something previously hidden, a new level of confidence, a new way of looking at the world, insights that spark imagination. It is clear that we need poetry. Our students need poetry. They really do. Poetry helps us know each other on a deeper level. It shapes the building of community in profound ways.
Rebecca Engelman from the North Dakota Council on the Arts with some thoughts about why it's good to have poetry in high school. I've been a judge at the Poetry Out Loud contest for, many years now, and some schools have just been there every year, regular as anything. One school that more recently came into the program is Solon High School, and here is their school champion, Gabriel Red Tomahawk, reciting a poem by somebody anybody around here should know.
Indian Boarding School's The Runaway by Louise Erdrich. Home is the place we head for in our sleep. Boxcars stumbling north in dreams don't wait for us. We catch them on the run. The rails, old lacerations that we love, shoot parallel across the face and break just under Turtle Mountains. Riding scars, you can't get lost. Home is the place they cross. The lame guard strikes a match and makes the dark less tolerant. We watch through cracks in the boards as the land starts rolling, rolling till it hurts to be here, cold in regulation clothes. We know the sheriff's waiting at mid-run to take us back. His car is dumb and warm. The highway doesn't rock, it only hums like a wing of long insults. The worn-down welts of ancient punishments lead back and forth. All runaways wear dresses, long green ones, the color you would think shame was. We scrub the sidewalks down because it's shameful work. And in the soak frail outlines, shiver clear a moment, things us kids pressed on the dark face before it hardened, pale, remembering delicate old injuries, the spines of names and leaves.
Gabriel Red Tomahawk from Solon High School. As a judge, I've mentioned that I'm one of the judges at this. There's a group of us, and we average out, and I'm always satisfied with the results of who wins. But, you know, we get a set of criteria that we mark each performance on, and it's inevitably subjective. And there are some really good performers, good poetry reciters who don't end up in the finalists, and that's inevitable when you have people really working like this. This next young woman, I really liked the poems that she picked. Natasha Bergeron from Northern Cass.
Earth, You Have Returned to Me by Elaine Equi. Can you imagine waking up every morning on a different planet, each with its own gravity? Slogging, wobbling, wavering, a tilt and out of sync with all that moves and doesn't. Through years of trial and mostly error, did I study this unsteady way? Changing pills, adjusting the dosage, never settling. A long time we were separate, O Earth, but now you have returned to me.
A poem about sanity, I think. You're listening to recitations and other material from the 2019 North Dakota Poetry Out Loud statewide contest. This next poem is by Faith Gress from Mandan High School. And it's, well, I'll give away a little bit. It's not much of a spoiler that it's from the point of view of somebody who's been killed by a bus and her interpretation after death of people's reactions to her. I hope I didn't ruin it for you.
Requiem by Camille T. Dungy. Sing the mass. Light upon me, washing words, now that I am gone. The sky was a hot blue sheet, the summer breeze fanned out and over the town. I could have lived forever under that sky. Forgetting where I was, I looked left, not right, crossed into a street, and stepped in front of the bus that ended me. Will you believe me when I tell you it was beautiful? My left leg turned to uselessness, and my right shoe flung some distance down the road? Will you believe me when I tell you I had never been so in love with anyone as I was then, with every one I saw? The way an age-worn man held his wife's shaking arm, supporting the weight that seemed to sing from the heart she clutched. Knowing her eyes embraced the pile that was me, he guided her sacked body through the crowd. And the way one woman began a fast the moment she looked under the wheel. I saw her swear off decadence. I saw her start to pray. You see, I was so beautiful, the woman sent to clean the street used words like police tape to keep back a young boy seconds before he rounded the grisly bumper. The woman who cordoned the area feared my memory would fly him through the world on pinions of passion, much as, later, the sight of my awful beauty pulled her down to tears as she pooled my blood with water and swiftly, swiftly washed my stains away.
Washed my sins away. Is that a gospel quote? An excellent reading by Faith Gress from Mandan High School. As a judge in the Poetry Out Loud contest, I see all the poems in a printed form before I hear the students do them. And one of the things that I came to realize very early on, it's much easier for a poem to make sense when it is said aloud than it is when you read it on the page, at least for most poetry. I mean, there's some that's written specifically for the page. It's not even meant to be read aloud. But the vast majority of poetry works so much better when it is spoken. And that was actually addressed by the MC of the whole contest. Her name is Elizabeth Gross.
Esteemed poet and Poetry Out Loud enthusiast Tony Haugland wrote the following words: "For a poem to be recited to a living audience, it is its big break in show business. A poem in the air is not the same poem as it is on the page. The drama and charm of its unfolding is completely, particularly alive and intimate as it passes from one body to another. And the excitement of hearing a good poem in such a way is like a roller coaster ride. I can't wait to see what's going to happen next." So for all of us here in this auditorium, we are the living audience. We have the opportunity to listen to great poetry and see the magic of words and meaning pass from one body to the other. Hang on. This is the best kind of roller coaster ride anyone could imagine.
And shortly after that, we moved on to the very first poem of the contest, recited by Curtis Anderson of the Magic City campus of Minot High School. And this poem, this is a quirky one. It's, I don't know, a critique of bureaucracy or a critique of humanity or civilization or something, but there's an element of absurdity for sure, and one that certainly works better out loud than on the page.
"After Working 60 Hours Again, For What Reason?" by Bob Hickok. "The best job I had was moving a stone from one side of the road to the other. This required a permit, which required a bribe. The bribe took all my salary, yet, because I hadn't finished the job, I had no salary. And to pay the bribe, I took a job moving the stone the other way. Because the official wanted his bribe, he gave me a permit for the second job. When I pointed out that the work would be best completed if I did nothing, he complimented my brain and wrote a letter to my employer suggesting promotion on stationery, bearing the wings of a raptor, spread in flight over a mountain smaller than the bird. My boss, fearing my intelligence, paid me to sleep on the sofa and to take lunch with the official who required a bribe to keep anything from being done. When I told my parents, they wrote my brother to come home from university to be slapped on the back of the head. Dutifully, he arrived and bowed to receive his instruction, at which point sense entered his body, and he asked what I could do by way of a job. I pointed out there were stones everywhere, trying not to move. All it took was a little gumption to be the man who didn't move them. It was harder to explain the intricacies of not obtaining a permit to not do this. Just yesterday, he got up at dawn and shaved, as if the lack of hair on his face has anything to do with the appearance of food on an empty table."
Ha ha, I think. Curtis Anderson reciting a poem by Bob Hickok. If you were listening earlier in the program, you heard a wonderful love poem by E.E. Cummings recited by Maria Kalb from St. Mary's Central High School in Bismarck. Here she is doing another really wonderful poem by one of my favorite contemporary poets. And after this, there's an interview with Maria and her teacher, coach, Mary Huff.
"Famous" by Naomi Shihab Nye. "The river is famous to the fish. The loud voice is famous to silence, which knew it would inherit the earth before anybody said so. The cat sleeping on the fence is famous to the birds watching him from the birdhouse. The tear is famous, briefly, to the cheek. The idea you carry close to your bosom is famous to your bosom. The boot is famous to the earth, more famous than the dress shoe, which is famous only to floors. The bent photograph is famous to the one who carries it, and not at all famous to the one who is pictured. I want to be famous to shuffling men who smile while crossing streets, sticky children in grocery lines, famous as the one who smiled back. I want to be famous in the way a pulley is famous, or a buttonhole. Not because it did anything spectacular, but because it never forgot what it could do.
Hello, my name is Maria Kolb. I am from St. Mary Central High School.
And I'm Mary Huff. I teach English at St. Mary's.
So the first thing people ask me is, like, how do they find the poems to do this? So if you want to talk a little bit about how you picked your poems?
Well, you go to the Poetry Out Loud website, and I always like to just pick the random poem generator, and whatever just pops up at me and whatever I like, I take note of it and look back on it.
When you randomly got the ones you got this year, what did you think?
It was a surprise to find so many different poems that I enjoyed so much, of different genres, different stories, different time periods. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm. And so you had to do three because you were a finalist. So did you have one that was your favorite?
Famous was my favorite, my last one. So I was really happy when I got chosen to be part of the finalists to be able to get the opportunity to perform it.
So you're coaching Maria in this, and like, what is that process like? How do you guys work on it?
Well, it starts with Maria was chosen to be our representative. We have a school competition at the end of January, and there were five competitors, and she was chosen to represent us. And then basically for a month, we practiced every day. So she would come into my room in the morning, and we would practice for about 20 minutes. And it's a matter of, she was really great about just getting the memorization part of it all done quickly. And then it was just a matter of working on enunciation, pronunciation, making sure that was all correct, pacing, just volume, just little tweaks. And the main thing is just a couple of years ago, there was a student here who said that a lot of being successful here is having the muscle memory of the poems in your mouth. And so the more that I felt like the more Maria said it, the better she would do
uh-huh.
here. So, and she did. She did a great job, and she did a great job last year.
Did the way you did the poem change a lot in this process of doing it every day?
I felt the more that I performed the poems, I connected more with the poems, and that connection deepened every time I said them, and I think that's what I carried into this competition. Mm-hmm.
Did you get a poem where you took a look at it and you said, like, I don't know what this means?
I actually previously chose a poem called Respiration, and I was going to do that poem, and I ended up backing out of it because I just didn't connect with it as much as I did with the other poems. So I did have a couple poems that I was considering but just couldn't connect with.
Well, congratulations on doing so well this year.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Uh-huh.
Next, it's Christian Walth from Bismarck High, who came in second overall. You can tell he worked on this poem, one of the more dramatic ones.
Two Guitars by Victor Hernandez Cruz. Two guitars were left in a room all alone. They sat on different corners of the parlor. In this solitude, they started talking to each other. My strings are tight and full of tears. The man who plays me has no heart. I have seen it leave out of his mouth. I have seen it melt out of his eyes. It dives into the pores of the earth. When they squeeze me tight, I bring down the angels who live off the chorus, the trio singing loosened organs with melodious screwdrivers. Sentiment comes off the hinges because a song is a mountain put into words, and landscape is the feeling that enters something so big in the harmony. We are always in danger of blowing up with passion. The other guitar. In 1944, New York, when the trio Los Panchos started with Mexican and Puerto Rican birds,
I am the one that one of them held tight like a woman. Their throats, gardenia gardens, an airport for dreams. I've been in theaters and cabarets. I played in an apartment on 102nd Street after the baptism pregnant with women. The men flirted and were offered chicken soup. Echoes came out of hallways as if from caves. Someone is opening the door now. The two guitars hushed, and there was a resonance in the air, like what is left by the last chord of a bolero.
I think you don't have to be a guitar player to appreciate that one. This next one by first place winner Emily Gilsrud is about aging and death.
Quite Frankly, by Mark Halliday. They got old. They got old and died. But first, okay, but first they composed plangent depictions of how much they lost and how much cared about losing. Meantime, their hair got thin and more thin as their shoulders went slumpy. Okay, but not before the photo albums got arranged by them. Arranged with a niftiness. Not just two or three, but 18 photo albums. Yes, 18 eventually. 18 albums proving the beauty of them and not someone else. Them and their relations and friends. Incontrovertible. Playing croquet in that Bloomington yard. Floating on those comic inflatables at Dow Lake. Giggling at the Dairy Queen, waltzing at the wedding, building a Lego palace on the porch, holding the baby beside the rental truck, leaning on the Hemingway statue at Pamplona, discussing the eternity of art in that Sardinian restaurant. Yes. And so, quite frankly, at the end of the day, they got old and died. Okay, sure, but quite frankly, how much does that matter in view of the 18 photo albums? Big ones, 13 inches by 12 inches, each full of such undeniable beauty.
Bless those picture albums. Now, this next one, I wanted to play this for you. This is a classic American poem, well known. It is read by someone who is new to America, Oluwanifesimi Precious Dada. Her accent is different from most people around here, yet she gives a nuanced reading.
Hope is it in feathers by Emily Dickinson. Hope is it in feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words, and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm, half headed in the chillest land and on the strangest sea. Yet, never in extremity, it asked a crumb of me.
We haven't heard from Jaden Anderson yet from Dakota Adventist Academy. This is sort of an anti-love poem.
From Space to Time by Carolyn M. Rogers. On a day when we were dark and not so full of light, we met. What did we find? Nothing. Everything. When we closed our eyes, which anyway had never been open, once we thought we loved each other. Who can reverse time? We tried. We stepped out of space into some new step of distance and fell and not in love.
These high school students picked some interesting poems. Earlier, I said the poem by William Blake was the oldest one in the competition, but I was wrong. It's actually this next one, which is more than 100 years older than Blake, done by Curtis Anderson of Minot High School's Magic City campus.
Break of Day by John Donne. 'Tis true, 'tis day, what though it be? Oh, wilt thou therefore rise from me? Why should we rise? Because 'tis light. Did we lie down? Because 'twas night. Love, which in spite of darkness brought us hither, should in despite of light keep us together. Light hath no tongue, but is all eye. If it could speak, as well as spy, this were the worst that it could say. That being well, I fain would stay, and that I loved my heart and honor so, that I would not from him that had them go. Must business thee from hence remove? Oh, that's the worst disease of love. The poor, the foul, the false, love can admit, but not the busied man. He which hath business and makes love doth do such wrong as when a married man doth woo.
You've been listening to the North Dakota Council on the Arts Poetry Out Loud statewide finals with support from Humanities ND. Next is Cassandra Rostved from Northwood and an anti-death manifesto.
Dirge Without Music by Edna St. Vincent Millay. I am not resigned to the shutting away of loving hearts in the hard ground. So it is, and so it will be, for so it has been, time out of mind. Into the darkness they go, the wise and the lovely. Crowned with lilies and with laurel they go, but I am not resigned. Lovers and thinkers, into the earth with you. Be one with the dull, the indiscriminate dust, a fragment of what you felt, of what you knew. A formula, a phrase remains, but the best is lost. The answers quick and keen, the honest look, the laughter, the love. They are gone. They are gone to feed the roses. Elegant and curled is the blossom. Fragrant is the blossom. I know, but I do not approve. More precious was the light in your eyes than all the roses in the world. Down, down, down into the darkness of the grave. Gently they go, the beautiful, the tender, the kind. Quietly they go, the intelligent, the witty, the brave. I know, but I do not approve. And I am not resigned.
Well, we will stay kind of serious for the next three, which I'm just going to play one after another. Sometimes it's fun to, or illuminating, to hear the poems presented that way. The first one is a serious poem about a serious young man from Christian Wolfe at Bismarck High School. Then we're going to hear a love lament from Shelby Lewis from Ray High School. And then from Natasha Bergeron from Northern Cass, another portrait of a lonely, young boy in difficulty, I guess I'd say. Well, see what you think of it. Three.
My brother, the artist, at seven. As a boy, he played alone in the fields behind our block. Six frame houses holding six immigrant families, the parents speaking only gibberish to their neighbors. Without the kids, they couldn't say good morning. and be understood. Little wonder he learned early to speak to himself, to tell no one what truly mattered. How much can matter to a kid of 7? Everything. The whole world can be his. Just after dawn, he sneaks out to hide in the wild, bleached grasses of August and pretends he's grown up, someone complete in himself without the need for anyone, a warrior from the ancient places our fathers fled years before, those magic places. Kiev, Odessa, the Crimea, Port Said, Alexandria, Lisbon, the Canaries, Caracas, Galveston. In the damp grass, he recites the names over and over in a hushed voice, while the sun climbs into the locust tree to waken the houses. The husbands leave for work, the women return to bed, the kids bend to porridge and milk. He advances slowly, eyes fixed, an animal or a god, while beneath him the earth holds its breath.
The Maid's Lament by Walter Savage Landor. I loved him not, but now that he is gone, I feel that I am alone. I checked him when he spoke. Could he speak? Alas, I would not check him. I would not check for reasons to not love him.
Recess by Maria Hummel. This is the sound of the bell. It rings, full of brass, and the end it brings. Once for the children, and once for the child who sits alone. His eyes, hurt and mild, he waits, holding his things. Time should hold no meaning for him yet. You don't learn how to play. You forget. But he knows a while well, and longs for the clang of the bell. A bell is a room of nothing, no. A dome with a hidden swing. A will, a sway, a tone, a peal, the beginning of a song. The wild crowd nears, passing, laughing, here is the sound of the bell.
Now, next, we have, again, from one of our finalists, one of the winners, Maria Kalb, a sad love story. The Poetry Out Loud recitations, of course, this is a competition among high school people, so the competitors are teenagers, and there's a lot going on with love at that stage of life. And so I shouldn't be surprised, I guess, that we have some sad love stories here. After Maria, we'll hear Cassandra Rostvedt doing a poem in a very different register about who to make poems for.
La Belle Dame Sans Merci, a ballad by John Keats. Oh, what can ail thee, knight at arms? Alone and palely loitering. The sedge has withered from the lake, and no birds sing. Oh, what can ail thee, knight at arms, so haggard and so woe begone? The squirrel's granary is full, and the harvest's done. I see a lily on thy brow, with anguish moist and fever dew, and on thy cheeks a fading rose fast withereth too. I met a lady in the meads, full beautiful, a fairy's child. Her hair was long, her foot was light, and her eyes were wild. I made a garland for her head, and bracelets too, and fragrant zone. She looked at me as she did love, and made sweet moan. I set her on my pacing steed, and nothing else saw, all day long. For sidelong would she bend and sing a fairy song. She found me roots of relish sweet, and honey wild, and manna dew, and sure, in language strange, she said, I love thee true. She took me to her elfin grot, and there she wept, and sighed full sore. And there I shut her wild, wild eyes with kisses four. And there she lulled me asleep, and there I dreamed, ah, woe betide, the latest dream I ever dreamt on the cold hillside. I saw pale kings and princes too, pale warriors, death pale were they all. They cried, La Belle Dame sans merci hath thee in thrall. I saw their starved lips in the gloam, with horrid warning, gaped wide. And I awoke, and found me here, on the cold hill's side. And this is why I sojourn here, alone, and palely loitering, though the sedge is withered from the lake, and no birds sing.
Songs for the People by Frances Ellen Watkins Harper. Let me make the songs for the people, songs for the old and young, songs to stir like a battle cry wherever they are sung. Not for the clashing of sabers, for carnage, nor for strife, but songs to thrill the hearts of men with more abundant life. Let me make the songs for the weary, songs amid life's fever and fret, till hearts shall relax their tension and careworn brows forget. Let me sing for little children before their footsteps stray, sweet anthems of love and duty to float o'er life's highway. I would sing for the poor and aged, when shadows dim their sight, of the bright and restful mansions where there shall be no night. Our world, so worn and weary, needs music pure and strong to hush the jangle and discords of sorrow, pain, and wrong. Music to soothe all its sorrow, till war and crime shall cease, and the hearts of men grown tender girdle the world with peace.
Cassandra Rostvedt from Northwood. We'll end with two that are on a hopeful note. One of them is actually a repeat. We earlier heard Emily Dickinson's poem, Hope is the Thing with Feathers That Perches in the Soul. And this often happens in Poetry Out Loud where more than one student picked the same poem. And so you get to hear different versions of it, which is interesting, illuminating to hear. So we will hear Christiana Schmidt from Beulah High School doing that one. And then we'll end with this year's first place winner. She's doing the last poem that she did in her last visit after 4 years at Poetry Out Loud about the famous last words of a dying writer and poet.
Hope is the Thing with Feathers by Emily Dickinson. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul. It sings a tune without the words, and it never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm, that could abash that little bird that's kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never, in extremity, it asked a crumb of me.
Let the Light Enter by Frances Ellen Watkins Harper. The Dying Words of Goethe. Light, more light, the shadows deepen and my life is ebbing low. Throw the windows widely open. Light, more light before I go. Softly let the balmy sunshine play around my dying bed. Ere the dimly lighted valley, I with lonely feet must tread. Light, more light, for death is weaving shadows round my waning sight. And I fain would gaze upon him through a stream of earthly light. Not for greater gifts of genius, not for thoughts more grandly bright. All the dying poet whispers is a prayer for light, more light. Heeds he not the gathered laurels fading slowly from his sight? All the poet's aspirations center in that prayer for light. Gracious Savior, when life's daydreams melt and vanish from the sight, may our dim and longing vision then be blessed with light, more light.